בוקר טוב, שבוע טוב. Today is יום שני בשבת קודש, פרשת ראה, כף מנחם אב. 40 יום קודם יצירת הוולד. 40 days before היום הרת העולם, the pregnancy of the world. היום הרת העולם, זה ממש 40 יום קודם. למה תגיד ככה? What? זה. We're all going to be נולד, we're all going to be... New creations on Rosh Hashanah. You say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, all the things.
Can you imagine coronavirus? How should
pay? Everything, you know, you look back at these, I just said, we'll say a little Dvar Musar, lifnei Sha'ul. So, people don't look at it like this. Unfortunately, being human beings, we have, you know, we suffer from short-term memories. Not short-term memory loss, but short-term memories. The world has been, you know, in a state of turmoil for the past kim'at, you know, different parts of the world at different times, about 6 months or so. So all of that turmoil and all of the Shem Yirachem, the death and the illness and the poverty and the loss of jobs and all of the suffering that came to the world, Hakol Nigzar Matai, when was everything Nigzar? Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei. People don't realize that is the fateful day. And people, you know, can you imagine? You told a person Rosh Hashanah. He asked him last year. You know, five months from now, you're going to come back. The shuls are going to be closed, and there's going to be masks and social distancing. You tell a person Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei, social distancing. What are those words? I never heard those words together. Hashanah, now it's so social distancing and masks and whatever. The last, you know, Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei. When was the last time you saw a mask? You go to the hospital. You have a mask. Yeah, the surgeon wears a mask. Aval ma. That all that is on Rosh Hashanah. People don't realize. It's a very, very scary thought. Kim'at, this week is going to be Shabbat Mevarchim, Chodesh Elul. Yeah? There's a famous verse, everybody knows, of Yisrael Salanter, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, when the Chazan used to, you know, by Ashkenazim, Hachrazat Rosh Chodesh is a much bigger deal than by Sfaradim. It's a whole tune, you know that? And they even have
on
special tune. Shabbat Mevarchim is a special Kiddush. There's a whole thing. Yeah. Huh? Extra herring and I don't know. Chalent, vizeh. Tov. Avan mikon makom. Rav Yisrael Salanter, every time the Chazan used to say, Besiman tov yeh lanu Rosh Chodesh, Elul used to faint. Menov pachad. Pachad ve'ema. Elul is almost upon us, and Elul is the preparation for the Yemei HaDin. Yeah, as we get closer, Be'ezat Hashem, I'll tell you a beautiful vart on Chodesh Elul that I heard from Malan Zichron Avracha. Aval, you know, you have to remember, today also marks a very special day. Today is the Siyum on Masechet Shabbat. You know, a lot of people, whoever did it. But it's very interesting that for a lot of people, I know I can speak for myself, and I can speak for other people too, but at least for myself, it's very funny, or not funny, but interesting, how Masechet Shabbat started right, mamash, a few days before the coronavirus like exploded. If you remember, right, it started right before Purim. Motzai Shabbat Zachor, or Sunday, right after Parashat Zachor is when Masechet Shabbat started, and it just ended today. Which means that for a lot of people, the only thing that they had, a lot of people, you know, didn't have jobs, and didn't have shuls, and didn't have Bet Midrash, and klum. The only thing that they had, Ein lan shiur, Ein la Torah hazot. David Melech Israel, there's nobody kim'at in history that suffered more than David HaMelech. He didn't live a long life, only 70 years, right? And that was donated to him by whom? By Adam HaRishon. Those 70 years, me'at v'ra'im, all of the, you know, those whole 70 years from the day he's born, nirdaf, they thought he was mamzer, and then, you know, his father-in-law tries to kill him, and his son tries to kill him, and wars, and yanim. His whole life is suffering. He writes in Tehillim, in Perikuf Yutet. What's the only thing that he was able to plug into to forget about his suffering? Not forget about it, but don't look at the Torah as an outlet, but more like a way to help a person overcome all of the tzarot of life. David HaMelech writes Meforash, Lule Toratecha Sha'ashu'ai Az Avadati Be'oni. Were it not for your Torah as Sha'ashu'a, like a plaything, like a toy, like entertainment. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have no other entertainment in this world than the Torah Kedusha. Without that, I would have gone insane from my tzarot. And David HaMelech knew what tzarot were. Nobody else knows it like him. And he says the only thing that kept him sane and normal and able to lead Am Yisrael through all the tragedies of the Zman were the words of the Torah Kedoshah. That's what we have. You see, a lot of people, you know, I see this because, you know, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in a situation where I wear many different hats in my line of work. You know, symbolically and literally. Yeah? Aval, you know, sometimes there's different, there's the hat and, you know, there's the shul, and then there's the Bet Midrash, and then there's, you know, going around Baruch Hashem, I have a zechut to teach Torah in many different places. You know? Huh? Yeah. The great neck hat is the lack thereof. Aval, mikol makom, takshibu tov. The coronavirus has brought out the best and the worst in mankind. The best, needless to say, Hashem Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim, how much chassadim and tzedakot and help, you know, especially when it was, when the virus was, you know, in its, right after Purim and Pesach, that whole time, how many chassadim did Am Yisrael do Hashem Yisrael? But it also brought out, we're not going to talk about anybody, but it brought out certain midot. Many people have latent midot. You know, latent midot that are deep down, and they don't even know that they have it. And, you know, just being home alone and being with family, whatever, and it sometimes has an effect to bring out bad midot that a person didn't even know was there. You know, it's the only way that a person's able to overcome his midot? Musar. And you know the only way that musar is effective? Musar is only effective when it's coupled with Talmud Torah. Torah without musar, and musar without Torah doesn't work because they go hand in hand. A Jew without a daily connection, or at least, you know, a few times a week connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah Kedoshah, is a goner. He can act like the worst behemah. All of the midot tera'ot, the Torah has a quality, Ishtabach Shemo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us such a gift that the Torah is me'aden et ha-bin adam. The Torah makes a person refined. It calms him down. It brings out the best of his better midot. The Torah shows him how to focus on the better midot. There's no person that can have, you know, the Gaon Mivilna also writes in Igeret Agra. He says a person was sent, he also writes in Ibn Shlema, he says that a person was sent here, the tafkid in Olam Hazeh is to perfect midot. Because if a person comes to Olam Hazeh and he doesn't perfect his midot, lama lo chayim. He says, for what is life? What purpose is life? And what's the only way to get there? Through Torah Kedoshah. How in the world is learning Masechet Shabbat, all the intricacies and Rashi, and Tosafot, Vezeh, Vehalachot, how's it supposed to perfect you? You know what? It's not something that can be explained. It's only something that can be experienced. You can't explain to somebody how enjoyable something is. You have to tell them, like David HaMelech writes in Tehillim also, Ta'amur u kitov Hashem. Can you explain a flavor? Right? Try to explain Tadik to somebody who never had it. Right? It doesn't. You can't explain it. You just have to. That's for a person who's experienced it. But for a person who's never experienced it, you want to explain to them. You want to sell him. Right? You want to sell him Tadik or Gandhi's or whatever. Hey, no, it's good, and it's like it has this. Matagidlo, you tell him ta'amur. Oh, you make a bracha, you taste it. Tabach shemoz davar ta'im. In order to taste it, you have to jump in. The Torah, right? Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishle, kimotzeiham matzeu chayim. Person who finds the Torah, you have everything in life. You miss nothing, you lack nothing, and it makes we. If you learn the sixth perek, the baraita, all the way at the end of Pirkei Avot. You see, when a person grows older and he has Torah, gets wiser, his hashkafot ha'olam change, it corrects his mind, it straightens him, it teaches him how to interact with his family, with his friends, with his parents, with his siblings, with his wife, with his children. The Torah teaches you how to be ben adam, right? To be a mensch, adam boshe, you have to be a mensch. People say, yeah, you have to be a mensch. But without the Torah, a person, you could say, be a mensch, adam boshe, until you're blue in the face. A person who doesn't have exposure to the Torah Kedoshah, he can't be a mensch. En bur yerechet v'lo ama aretz chasid, that doesn't work. You need to have exposure to the Torah. As lachin, that's the idea of here, especially now. 40 yom kodem Rosh Hashanah, that coincides together with the siyum on Masechet Shabbat. Lom shane, it doesn't matter what you learn. You learn dafa yomi, you learn dafa shvu'i, you learn whatever it is that you learn, hold on to it. Ki en lanu shiur ela Torah zot. There's nothing left in the world. The Gemara says also in Masechet Berachot, "Miyom shenichrav bet Hamikdash, ein lo laKadosh Baruch Hu be'olamo, ein la arba'amot shel halacha bilvad." The only thing we have left is the Torah. And I promise you, you know, this is a very, I told it to your father this morning, Josh. He asked me, how are the boys? He asked me, how are you? So I told him, you know, I want you to know I love all the Talmidim, Mamash Kilvavi. And I told him, I want to give you some nachat. I told your father this morning. What's his Hebrew name? Hananiah. So I told him, the workers that are working on the mikveh and upstairs, whatever, the Iranian Muslims, so they pointed out to Moshe and the Yanti the other day, and Moshe told me it was such a huge thing. He said, when they were younger in Iran, so apparently part of the curriculum over there was to learn the Quran. It was to learn, you know, Muslim studies, and it was forced on them. And they said that they hated it with a passion. They were forced to do it, and they hated it. And then once they closed the books, they could never look at it again because forced upon them, and they never liked religious studies. But lo and behold, during the whole summer, they're here working and whatever, and they see, you know, summertime is a time for vacation. You know, people go, you know, either go to vacation, go to work, whatever, but they see, you know, young men coming every day, come to sit and learn. And they see they're learning things with Hebrew, scriptures or whatever it is that they, I don't know if they understand what we're learning, but they see they're learning religious things. And he asked Moshe, is anybody forcing them to do this? And he said, no. He said, is anybody paying them? He said, no. So he's like, why are they doing it? He says, because they love it. So they said, you must be doing something right. He says, if they don't hate it and they're here of their own free will and they come and they look like they're enjoying themselves, you know what kind of Kiddush Hashem that is? Hashem Yisrael, Ashrechem, Ashrechem Kechem. Why? Because this is Torah Chaim ve'avat chesed, zeh. You learn this, kim chayenu v'ruchem, there is nothing else. The Torah gives the neshama into the mitzvot, and into the ma'asim tovim, and into the musar, and into everything. The neshama is the Torah. A person who lives this world without Torah, it's like guf belo neshama. Ma zeh? Ha'machazir neshamot evgrem metim. Mamash, without the Torah kedosha, look at people. Yeah, they go through the motions. You have a lot of people. I don't have to, you know, you look around. People who don't have Torah, you scan in. They're people, Enlein klum, right, Ryan? The people who, the Jewish people, even the religious ones in nature, she'en lahem Torah, yesh lahem mashu b'chaim? Skinning, huh? No, not even people. No. I'm talking even about religious people. I know plenty of religious people. They're not kovei ha'itim la Torah. I said, what do you, huh? Religious. No, lama. Shomer Torah mitzvot, Shabbat, Kashrut, Tahara. They're shomer, but they're not kovei ha'itim la Torah. And sometimes these people, without realizing it, these people can become pir'ei adam. They can become wild beasts. Because a person is a wild beast. The only thing that can tame the beast is the, you know, derachea derche no'am shel Torah kedusha. The beauty and the pleasantness and the, you know, the refinement of the Torah kedusha, that's the only thing that can mold the person into, you see, you want to be a mensch, that's the Torah. How do you explain it? Lo yodea. But that's the way it is. What do you want to say, Ron? I got it? Okay, so, with that in mind, that was something that was on my mind today. L'chvod ha'siyum, l'chvod masechet Shabbat. Yeah.
How come they added the last paragraph to the Mishnah? Is it part of the Mishnah?
No, it's a baraita. That's why it says, Shanu chachamim bilshon ha'mishnah, baruch shebachar bahem uv'mishnatam. That's how it starts off. The sixth parak is not Mishnah, it's only baraita. Because it's Perek Kinyan HaTorah. It's the, you know, it's the way and the way to live a Torah lifestyle.
Someone's doing like,
No, leave it at all.
Someone's doing like Mishnah, and then it has to be the sixth parak also, or it's not part of Mishnah?
Shel HaTorah. I think it's Nahug to read it. I don't think you need to, but I think it's Nahug. The same way it's Nahug, you know, part of Talmud Bavli, of the Daf HaYomi, they do Masechet Shkalim, which is from Talmud Yerushalmi. Why they put it in? I'm not sure exactly, but they put it in. It's Nahug to learn it. There's no Rashi on it. There's only on the Shekalim, after Pesachim. Right after Eruvin, right before Chanukah, Tet Bekislev, Bezat Hashem will finish Eruvin, and go on to Pesachim, and then after Pesachim ends right before Purim. It's cute. Anyway. And then it's Shekalim. So, Shem Hashem Naaseh V'Natzliach. Zeh HaTorah Kedoshah. Ah, Shem Yisrael. You know, the people, everybody realizes, whatever you're learning, if it's husbands learning Daf Yomi, or if it's, you know, young adults coming to learn B'nai Torah, coming to learn in the summer, everybody realizes. You can tell in a second who's Kovei Ha'itim LaTorah and who's not. And how? not only in their expertise, in their erudition in the Torah, it's in the way they act. Because a person doesn't have midot tovot, a person has midot mushchatot, a person has corrupt midot, that's the worst possible thing. It's all of his relationships are going to be failures. Any business interactions he has, failures. It all comes, any bad things in this world come from midot mushchatot. We have to polish ourselves. Just like the Gemara says, a person, you know, over there, da'at is a reference to ilchot de'ot, mazeh, derech eretz. Why? Because over there, it's not a tamid chacham. Tamid chacham is not a person who has Torah knowledge. Why? You can take a shas, you can even take the mesifta, right? The shas mesifta, with all of the mefarshim ve'akol, and load it onto a donkey. Yeah? Does that make the donkey, shalom bracha, stand up for him, gdol ador, tamid chacham? He's carrying everything. You have a person who learns Torah but doesn't have derech eretz. That's not a tamid chacham. Maze, that's a chamor no sesfarim. You stand up for him. He's carrying Torah knowledge. What's a tamid chacham? A tamid chacham is a person who not only has the knowledge of the Torah. Knowledge of the Torah is prerequisite, but then takes it and internalizes it, and that makes him a better person. He's able to interact with people. He's able to be a bin adam. He's able to have derech eretz. That's a tamid chacham. And look at anybody that you think is a Talmid Chacham, or that we know is Talmid Chachamim Gdolei Yisrael, look at them. Look at their midot. Look what the Torah did for these people. You know, the Gemara, yesterday's Gemara, Kuf Nun Vav Amud Bet in Shabbat, the Gemara says that people are born with certain tendencies. Rabbah was born by Mazal Ma'adim. Ma'adim in the Mazal of Mars, which makes a person a bloodshedder. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Gemara says, was born b'mazal shel, I don't know exactly what it was, but b'mazal shel gannavim. It's supposed to be a gannav. And the astrologers told his mother, this guy, he has no chance, he's going to be gannav. She said, the mother said, shake it. With the Torah, you can do everything. From a young age, the Gemara says, what did his mother tell him? Make sure you wear your kippah, cover your head all the time, and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Always daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you. And he grew up to be Gdol Ador, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The Gemara tells a story. One time, he was sitting under a palm tree learning, and his kippah fell off. And when his kippah fell off, he looked up, he saw the palm tree, he saw the dates, he climbed up the tree, and he yanked off a whole thing, a cluster of dates, with his teeth, with his bare teeth. To show you what? That a person is born with many animalistic tendencies. Why does the Gemara say this? To chas v'shalom, say bad about gdol ha'amuraim, ha'pitom. Ela, to teach us what? Afuch. Le'agid shivcho. To say, look, people are born with many animalistic traits, and the one and only way to overcome those traits, to get to imbue ourselves with midot tovot, is through Torah, and tefillah, and musar, and yirat shamayim. That's the only way to curb it. It's a big, big thing. V'zeh ha'emet la'amita shel Torah. Zeh ha'emet. And don't let anybody else tell, no, it's Aikar is to have a good heart and to have good midot. How do you have a good heart and good midot without learning Torah? People think, no, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that's true. But you don't know what Derech Eretz is until you get your feet wet with Torah. Because what a person thinks, you know, mercy killing, right, euthanasia, it's also Derech Eretz, he's suffering, he's skin, now you have to pull the plug, Zerachmanut. If you don't have Torah, everything can be, right, you have a mistaken perception of what's derech eretz, what's midot, what's emet, what's shekir. That's where the Torah comes in. It teaches you how to have derech eretz. Nachon derech eretz. That's every person who's chiluni will always tell you, what? Derech eretz kadma la Torah. And all that. You won't know. Nachon. Im en Torah and derech eretz. Im en derech eretz and Torah. That's the way it works. Yeah? That's the way it works every time. What do you want to say? Somebody want to say something? Yeah,
Chavu. Somebody shouted out
just the first one. Lechaora, Mishnah. Tov. I wanted to start off the next sugya, which is going to span the next few seifim of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Tun of Shulchan Aruch. We'll start off with the Gemara. So we started last week speaking about the Gzirav Shechar. We're going to continue now with other alcoholic beverages, but not standard ones, and different issues that can come up with these alcoholic beverages. The Gemara says as follows. I apologize for the rant, but it's not really a rant. It's a musar. Right? That's the quintessential way to be koneh Torah is through Yirat Shamayim. And the only way to be koneh Yirat Shamayim is through Musa. The person has to learn a lot of Musa. Im lo, the Chafetz Chaim says beferush. He says the person has to learn Musar, and the Maran Achida writes in Birkei Yosef that if a person has one, a choice to do one per day, either Musar or Mishnayot, Musar takes precedence over Mishnayot. Why? Because when you learn Musar, it'll teach you that you have more time to learn Mishnayot too.
That's it.
Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Aleph, Saif Katan Yudbet, brings it down a little. In Hashkamat HaBoker, he talks about learning Musar. It's Chayav, a person has to work on his Midot every day. A person who doesn't work on his midot, yachol liot mamash behima, mamash, bli lagzim, without any exaggeration whatsoever. Yeah, so says the Gemara on daf mem amud bet tanur rabbanan, hachagavim vaKafrisin vaKaflutot habaim min haotzar min haiptek umin haSefina mutarim, which means if you have grasshoppers, caper berries, leek, yeah, Rosh Hashanah coming up, if they're taken out of storage or from the press or from a boat, which means they're on some sort of storage, which means they were in, you know, they weren't ready to sell yet, it's mutar. However, hanimkarin bekatluza lifnei chenvani asurim mipnei shemezalef yayin alehim. But the ones that are sold in the market, what happens over there, they usually sprinkle some yayin nesich onto it, apparently it gives it a certain taste, and therefore over there, it's a problem to buy them. This is really what we need. V'chin, same idea, yayin tapuchim shel avdei kochavim habaim min haotzar min haftek min has, it should say sfina mutarin hanimkar bekatluza asur mipnei shema'alvin bo yayin. Same thing with yayin tapuchim, which is hard apple cider. It's apple, you know, apple cider that was left to ferment turns into alcohol. The same thing is with yayin rimonim, pomegranate juice. You allow it to ferment, it turns alcoholic. They do sell it today. It's called pomegranate wine. Ma birkato, birkato she'akol, even though it's alcoholic, but it's called wine. Yain tepechuim, yain rimonim. It's just apple juice or pomegranate juice that was fermented. It's still birkato she'akol. Happens to be pretty expensive, which would make sense according to Tosfot. By the way, we're going to see on daf lamed bet amud alef. I saw it the other week. It's pretty. It's like 60-70 bucks. It's expensive. Yeah.
But it's not.
Huh?
They just do it because it's industrial America. They don't know it's how no one wants
pomegranate.
It.
I don't know.
No, it's wine.
I tasted it once. It's not bad. I'm not a big fan, but it's pretty good. Anyway, aval mikol makom, pomegranate stam, the many of the mefarshim bring down the pomegranates. The Rambam also speaks about pomegranates that they're very healthy, and even lahavdil, even modern medicine has found a lot of medicinal and health properties in pomegranates, antioxidants, v'chule v'chule. So, aval, yeah, follow the Rambam's diet. Emet la'amita. Every time you eat something, what would the Rambam say about all our foods today? Processed foods and all this, you know, they ask me about this store and that store and this sandwich and that. Yeah, wa'aliya, what are you putting into your body? A person has to be healthy. You look in Hilchot Deot, I'll show you. Hilchot Deot, he tells you exactly. Huh? Aged fish, aged meat, salted meat. Says, it's like sama mavet laguf. Says, meforash. Huh? Ktsat, lechvot shabbat. Huh? No. No, but those are, that's a little bit, that's big sandwiches. That's huge, these sandwiches. No, zehemet. No, a person has to also, the Rambam writes that a person, whenever you eat, forget about what you're eating. What you're eating is a different story. Just think, what are you putting into your body? A. And B, whenever a person eats, the Rambam says, if you want to help your digestion. Now, even modern medicine has seen that there are two of the biggest openings for the immune system in the body is what? Skin and gut. You know that. The gut, which means the intestinal tract, and the skin are the two things that are most susceptible, and that's the entry to the immune system. If a person doesn't take care of the gut, and you don't take care of your skin, you're leaving your body open to all sorts of microbes and all sorts of diseases. Chas v'shalom. A person has to take care of himself. The Rambam says if a person wants to aid in digestion, you always leave a quarter of your stomach empty. Some people eat until they're plots. They eat. What do you think? How big do you think your stomach is? It's about the size of a pear. You know that? The stomach? It's not so big. And then what? You fill it, and you eat a big sandwich, and then what? You feel like that. The Rambam says that's kim'at poison for the body whenever you eat. It's also Rabbeinu Yonah in Sefer Yirah brings down the same thing. B'shem Ra'avad. It's called Ta'anit Ra'avad. What's that? Ta'anit Ra'avad. Maze.
Increment of fasting.
Huh?
What is it?
You, when you're eating and you're still hungry. And no, not intermittent. You're eating, you're still hungry. At the end of your portion, you leave over. It's not that, like you're full. If you're full, then there's no kunz in leaving over. You're still hungry, but just I'm going to give this up. Ta'anita Ravad, Rabbi Yonah. Huh? Di Ravad. Yeah. Rabbi Yonah brings him down. So over here, Rabbi Yonah quotes him l'alacha. He says it's better even, he says it's more l'ratzon l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu than an actual ta'anit. Person has to, you know, stop when you're still hungry. And not only is that you look it up in Furash, it should be in the back of many Sha'ari Teshuvah. In Sha'ari Teshuvah, you look in Sefer HaYirah, Ketuv Shama Mefurash, says leave over a little bit in your plate. Why? To show, I'm giving this up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Adif ze mita'anit. Oh, so it's not a problem of what about bal tashchit? And mize bal tashchit. Why? You're not doing it b'derech hashchata. You're doing it, you ate, whatever, and you're leaving it, you know, you're leaving a little bit over. And not only that, it's good for health also. When a person, how do you feel after a meal? When you leave over a quarter of your stomach empty, good, you get up, b'ze. The Rambam says to do a lot of things. You do exercise, a little bit of moderate exercise before the meal, that half hour before a meal. Zatov, you open up. The Rambam in Chot De'ot, Ketuv, you do moderate exercise before a meal, and then the Rambam, it's crazy stuff. He says, whoever follows this, huh? No, a person.
Don't eat 4 hours before you go to sleep.
Yeah, a person has to be also very careful. It's not good to eat so much before bedtime. A lot of, the Rambam also says Mefurash. It's very interesting. He contradicts himself a little bit because he says, 99 out of 100 deaths come from what? The Rambam says food. You know that? The food-related illnesses. Most of the illnesses, even in the times of Rambam, were brought about as a result of food. In another place, also in Chot De'ot, he says 999 out of 1,000 deaths or illnesses come from what? Ribui b'tashmish amita. Says that also. When a person is mishamish mitato, if a person overdoes intercourse, that also weakens the body, makes a person ill, and he dies. So which one is it? Is it food or is it? It could be both. It's not really a stira. Avan mikol makom, person has to be cognizant. That's what the Torah wants. It's not person has to know. It's kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach liot, you know, ben Torah afilu ba'achila. Not only what you eat and where you eat it and where you don't eat it and where and you know also how much b'tzura shel derech eretz. You know that's another big thing also. Yeah, aval. That's why it's a mitzvah. The Gemara says also Masechet Pesachim, Daf Mem Amud Bet, Uvot Tidbak. We just said in this past week's parasha to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, how is a person supposed to stick to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ela, how do you do it? You stick to Tamid Chachamim. What it says Yochal Veishteim Tamid Chachamim, Yaseh Pragmatiyam Tamid Chachamim. Eat with them, do business with them. Yisab Bito Shel Tamid Chacham, Yasid Bito Le Tamid Chacham. Why you want to mix with them, so you see how they act, and that's the way, by doing that, by hanging out with Talmid Chachamim, that's how a person can cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talmid Chachamim are his emissaries ba'olam hazeh. V'zeh ha'emet. To. Lachen. Choli me'ayim, kuf yudchet amud bet. Yeah. That's the most painful, and Tosfot says, because a person, it cleans a person out of his bowels, and it makes him like a malach. He's constantly clean. That's.
I'm saying, why
you ever see how tzaddikim ate? You know how much the Baba Sali ate? Baba Sali used to fast the entire week. You ever? No, be'emet. You watch. I Baruch Hashem, I had a zechut to be around. I saw a lot of gedolim. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me the zechut. You know, when you see real gedolim, you see how they eat. Hamash, you know how the 21st century, especially in the Western world, is into food. Like people are, everything revolves around food. And Tamid Chachamim Tzaddikim, they're so not into food. They're into everything else. Some people eat to live. Some people live to eat. There's different kinds of people out there.
So tzaddikim, tamid chachamim. I was just by my Rebbe's house last week in Brooklyn. I remember, I'm like his son. I went to his house. I went after mincha, I went to yeshiva, and then I went to his house, and it was lunchtime. Lunch is at 3 o'clock. Aval top beseder sits down to eat. Now he has an office and he has a dining room table. He's so mamash. I interacted with him all the time. He went over there. Mamash ate a little. He had a little plate of food. He says, "Do you mind if I go first?" He offered me to eat. I said, "I ate already." He says, "No, come eat with me, vizit." But then he said, then he turned around and ate mamash b'tzniut. Why? Yesh b'ze busha. You know, to eat b'derech shel kavod and busha. And then he ate mamash a little bit, and then he's full. And then he only eats a roll or whatever for dinner. They're so not into food and restaurants and takeout and what. I'm not saying it's bad things, but people's musagim are different. When you're into Torah, again, it's important. You know, you have to live in olam hazeh. If a person, you know, somebody like us doesn't take your wife or whatever it is after dinner, you know, once in a blue, so you're a dead man. You know, aval, huh? That's another thing. You have to be margilotam. You're going to do every night. You're going to go. You have to take out a mortgage for what? Once in a blue, lichvod mashu, lichvod, you know, niyodama, lichvod Rosh Chodesh, lichvod something, you know, Motzai Shabbat, Seudar Ve'it, mashu kaze. Huh? No, betin shilchata ase bapai. No. Tamde chachamim, wait for a special again. You have a birthday, an anniversary, Seudat mitzvah, siyum masechet, mashu kaze. But to do it every time, you don't want to, tamde chachamim, b'nei Torah, aren't supposed to be so murgal b'motarot. I know, for kirov purposes, poppers are the way to go. Yadati. Aval, right, everything, nachon. They say, Mikey, in Great Neck, poppers is the, poppers is kimat ha-mashiach. Yeah? Aval. Yeah? No, b'emet, zeh. Poppers and by you know in other necks of the woods it's chalent. It used to be chalent. Not chalent anymore. It's poppers. In my days, chalent, that was a big thing. Then it became after chalent became sushi. And after sushi became poppers. That's the big thing. Aval mikol makom, a person shouldn't be margil b'motarot. A person shouldn't be so you know into a lot of luxuries. And also livne beto. Okay, it's a tova kamashma alan baruch Hashem. One after another, Bezat Hashem, Oda Shana, everybody, whoever's of age, Oda Shana, Bezat Hashem, Kol Sason, Kol Simcha, Bezat Hashem. Aval, huh? The age. He was not 24. He was 22. He was 22 when he got married. Yeah. Aval. Lo, aval, alo. Chazal, Katub, Bepirkei Avot, Ben Shemoneh Yisrael, Lachupa, Katub. Aval, Seder. That's a Mishnah. Okay, Seder. Then you have the Gemara. Aval, yeah, Rav Chasda, 16. You take the sanitizer. Sanitizer and then Ktzat al Abgadim is it. Now, Aval, there's no water in the building? Seder, Lom Shane. Aval Mikol Makom, a person when you get married also, you know, also Lo Lehargil Bamotarot. First of all, it starts with the Ba'al Abayit. Starts with the husband. The husband, and then the wife, and then the children. Don't, even if you have the money, Be'ezat Hashem, but even if you have it, it's okay to live simply also. It's okay. Because once you get steeped in luxury, and you're used to all these things, it's very hard to get out of it. You start, you know, these things are nice. It's also, you know, children grow up, it's very hard to deal with children. You give them everything all the time. Abba can have this, Ima can have, yes, everything they want they have. The latest this, then the technology, and this and that. And then, when they grow older, you think it's easier? You think it gets cheaper? The toys just get more and more expensive when you get old. Manasot. If every time it's yes, part of the chinuch is bederech shel Torah, not always. Once in a while you get a treat, once in a while you get a walnut. Yeah. Egozim uklayot, bizman chazan. Aval, yeah. Belela seder. Belela seder. Yeah. Yeah, it's good because by the Persians the nuts are very. It's a common dessert item by the Persians. Huh? Yeah, but die. Top. Aval mikol makom. Huh? Die. But it's neichal kamot shulchai. It's neichal kamot shulchai. But it is olayam shulchai melachim. But die. It's a davar chashuv. Top. Aval mikol makom. You know. There's a lot to speak about this topic. This is more for, you know, chassan classes and whatever. Aval tzarich leitnaheg, but even if a person We're living in a generation where if you don't kind of help yourself to kind of hold down the fort and not be dragged after all of the luxuries that this world has to offer, it has to always be the latest car and the latest this and the most fancy that. It's a rabbit hole that never ends. You jump in and you can't get out. And it's also very, very bad chinuch. A person has to teach his children, not to chalila live in poverty, which means to live a life of, even if you don't have everything, it's okay. It's okay. I had many, Baruch Hashem, I have many, not to say that nobody goes into the field of Torah, of teaching Torah and Rebbeim and Rabbanut to become a rich person. Right? At least not in my circles. I have a lot of friends who went to yeshiva and they went into different lines of business and Baruch Hashem, they became very wealthy. Baruch Hashem, she'elem lebriyut b'ezat Hashem. And they give a lot of tzedakot v'zeh. Aval, huh? Tov, aval. I'm not tell says it. So, Tov. That's one thing my Rebbeim told me to stay away from. Aval. You know, when you have a person who works, sometimes a person makes too much money and then he starts living a certain lifestyle and then I see him a few years later, person sat next to me in yeshiva. Mamash, it can turn a person into something that he's not. It's not you. The money has a very weird effect on people. Money and luxury, you see the person, came out, talk to the person. So what's your sederim? No, I'm working now. You're such a good guy in yeshiva. In yeshiva, you laugh it. You laugh at amaharetz. Look at you. You became amaharetz. That's a kalala. Look what happens after a little bit of money. Ze mishtabesh asechem. Why? Person is, even with the money and with everything, I also know on the flip side, many, many wealthy people that live, you wouldn't be able to tell. Not cheap. I'm not talking about, because that's a choli, being overly cheap. That's a mahala. That's also no good. When a person goes into marriage, very, very, I don't know if we have it here, but also very recommended, especially before you get married, Chacham Tzion is a musar sefer, zichron adasa. Yeah, or Letzion chokhmah musar. It's a little, it's the same cover, but a little, it's a small blue sefer. Excellent Musar, all the Musarim of Chacham Tzion Avraham Shalom. Beautiful, beautiful Musar. He says over there, he has a whole pirik about marriage, about Shalom Bayit and marriage. It's a very, very interesting point of view. So he says over there, one of the biggest mahalot, one of the biggest problems and marriage killers is when a person is cheap, when a person is kilai, when a person is just, kamtan. There's nothing that hurts a family more than being a kamtan. Why? And he says a special thing. He says, even if, obviously, you have to be balanced about it, but he says when a person acts in a way of kamtsanut, it gives people a sense of resentment towards him. And even if a person doesn't have that much, but if a person thinks, if a person's wife, obviously there's got to be a balance. You can't take an American Express black when you can't pay the bill and say, okay, take it and spend it and go and whatever. Obviously, b'derech shel, shfiut. But if a wife comes and says, I need something and for the children, whatever, even if the person doesn't have enough money necessarily to cover that specific thing, a person should think b'machshavto that he's going to give to his wife and children in order not to appear cheap, in order to be large, and in order to, to fulfill her needs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yimelech esrono. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send him money from a different place. It's kimata avtacha. And I've seen it time and time again when it's being done, when a person's large, and when a person acts in a way that I want to provide. I want to be able to get you what you need. Obviously, once again, balanced. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees it and is memaleh et hachisaron. Zeh od davar meod chashuv. But even for those people, to live in a way that's simple is also okay. Doesn't mean a person has to live an ostentatious lifestyle. Zeh lo omer kacha. Tov. Nagid ez davar from the Gemara over here. The Rashi says, there's musadim. Zeh meod chashuv. Without Musar, we're lost. Person who doesn't learn Musar, that's the keli. The Musar is the keli that helps to catch the Torah. If a person wants to be a receptacle for Torah, you have to be saturated with Musar. Because otherwise, he's a kli menukav. You ever try to, pour water into a pasta strainer? What happens? Tach, falls right out. In order to plug up all those holes are midot ra'ot, and the ot meshubashot, all sorts of weird, points of view and stuff. Musar plugs up those holes. You plug up, you fill the inside of the strainer with plaster. What's going to happen? Then it's going to catch the water.
Ve'in ma'im ila Torah. That's the way it works all the time. That's the thing. Maze? There's no best Musar Sefer, but they asked, Rav Yisrael Salanter asked Rav Chaim Velazner this question. And, you know, it's very interesting. Rav Yisrael Salanter, Alav Shalom, he was the founder of the Musar movement. He learned in Velazner, under Rav Chaim Velazner. Rav Chaim Velazner was not the biggest, I mean, there was no Musar movement yet in Velazner. It only came later. And you know, when the Musar movement came around, there were a lot of opponents. Not everybody accepted it. They thought it wasn't the derech, whatever. But Rav Yisrael Salanter asked Rav Chaim Velazner, what is the most important Musar Sefer? So he said, you can't say what the most important Musar Sefer is, but he says the ikar, the yesod of all Sifrei Musar is Mesilat Yesharim. That's what he said. Zeh ikar. That's the even ha-yesod, the fundamental of all the Sifrei Musar, but any Sefer Musar is good. A person, you know, you got to give it to yourself. And the more, if you don't keep it up, you think, no, I'm good, I learned, ze lo avid kacha. Every day musar, ktsat musar kol yom. Tov. So the Gemara says over here about the yain shel tapuchim. Let's see what he says. Says Rashi, kafrisim kaplutot mevushalin uchvushin b'machbesh metkayimin ve'en b'ayim mishum bishulei avdei kochavim d'nechalim chayim v'lo mishum gi'ul. There's no bli'ot asurot over there. Why? The tam gi'ul pogmo v'lo mashbicho. Over there it's noten tam libgam, and we know that noten tam libgam is muta. Mina iftek, makom kinusan shen atzurin shem ze al ze ublaz pilch, whatever that is, I don't know. But it's a kind of the press area. Katluza shuk. So, now, this is the first thing. Roy, read the Rambam. Apparently, the Rambam learned out of this Gemara a very important halacha. Now, this Rambam actually is immediately after the previous one where he spoke about Shechar. That Shechar is Asur, and then Mishtaot. That was halacha Yud. Halacha Yud Aleph, he goes on to Yain Tapuchim Yain Mirmunim. Now, it's interesting, the succession of the halachot, and that's what's going to kind of be a little bit mysterious to the Lecha Mishneh. Says the Rambam.
You mentioned the previous one about other drinks.
Yes. He said shechar, wherever you get the shechar from. Which means, basically covered all the alcohol, and now he gets into other forms of alcohol that don't have the gzira. Mazeh. Which means they have raisin wine, which is, raisins are grapes, but it's a different kind of process. Poor people used raisin wine, but since it comes from grapes, there it goes in. But he's trying to say, in terms of the gzirah of shechar shel akum, yain tapuchim, yain rimonim, was not part of the gzirah. Why? Says the Rambam, very interesting. Lo matsui. It wasn't something very common. Now again, what about whiskey? What about gin and rum and tequila and all these other guys? Was that common? Lo yodea. But pashtus, those things were considered under the umbrella of shechar. These weren't shechar. These were different. Those are called spirits. You ever see a liquor store called wine and spirits? Spirits is shechar plus everything else. There's wine and then there's spirits. These things are glorified apple juice, glorified pomegranate juice. Even though it's alcoholic, nevertheless, it's still considered a juice and not shechar. That's the idea. Now, says the Kesef Mishnah, where did the Rambam get this from? There's no such dina gemara. Where is it? Says the Kesef Mishnah, you're right. The Rambam doesn't get it from a gemara. He gets it from what? Lack thereof. Yeah? From the fact that the gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph only spoke about shechar, and these things aren't shechar. Now, shechar is a broad term. What shechar is exactly? Remember, machloket ishonim. What about dvash? What about se'orah? What about all these things? Many Rishonim say no. Correct. Correct. Because it's an alcoholic juice. No. What? It's not. It's not a juice. It's a known spirit. It was a spirit that was matsui. Now, even though, by the way, what do you mean? Everything's matsui.
This is all like apple cider would be next to the beer.
So I'll tell you, I don't remember where I saw it. The poskim bring down that as long as something was not matsui bizman chazal, even if it becomes matsui later, still there's no gzera on it. So since yain tapuchim yain emunim, now again, you remember the ravaya, the mordechi, they brought down what was the most common form of beer in the times of chazal? date. They didn't have beer like we have today. And that's why they're matir. And yet, what does the Rambam hold about our beer today? Zasur. Even though it's barley beer. Why? Because that's still considered a spirit. And spirits were considered something matui bizman chazal. To says the Lechem Mishneh. Chavo. Mi ze Lechem Mishneh? Mi ze Kesef Mishneh? The Maran. Lechem Mishneh is Rabbeinu Abraham de Boton. Yeah? To.
Wait, so what was the word? Because it's just saying God.
From the fact that the Gemara only spoke about a gzira of shechar shel akum, and it didn't speak about yain tapuchim remonim, it must be its mutar. The fact that the Gemara didn't mention it. And that's why the Rambam says, eno matsui, since it wasn't matsui, it wasn't bichlal a gzira. That was the idea. Huh? Correct. Tenu. Yeah?
And right of the
The Lechem Mishnah obviously thought it had something to do with it. He's quoting this Gemara. Okay, b'sid. But there's a Havamina.
Yeah.
In Yeshiva, you have to know what's the Havamina, what's the Maskana, yeah? Kiss of Mishnah. Also, you have to. I mean, if it's Rabbeinu Stam, it's probably the Rambam. But he says Rabbeinu because of Mishneh. Says okay. So the Lechem Mishneh, for all intents and purposes, agrees with the analysis of the Kesef Mishneh. But he says what's not a proof to the Rambam's Deen, that because from the Rambam, what's he saying? He's saying no, you can't. You're able according to the Rambam. Where am I allowed to drink Yain Shel Tapuchim? Everywhere, even Bevet Akum, says the Lechem Mishneh, where should you not learn out of from this Gemara? Why? Because this Gemara is talking about a totally different Isur. It's talking about a Chashash of Yain Nesech. So even if you're telling me it's coming min Haotzar, and in the Haotzar they don't put Yain Nesech, Beseder. Maybe that's only enough to allow it to drink it where? Bevet Yisrael. Who says Bevet Akum? So he says that this Sugiyah is not a Raya. Which Sugiyah might, yes, be a Raya? That's the Sugiyah on Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. That's the issue with Tosfot a little bit. I don't know if let's at least get our feet wet with the sugya. Maybe we'll see the Ram tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have to see the Bet Yosef. There's a big esek in the Bet Yosef and the other Achronim. I bet these are a few seifim that are kind of lumped together. Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav are really lumped together. But that's not. I didn't even pay attention. Re'e anochi noten lifnechem ayon beracha uklala. Et beracha asher tishme'u. The quintessential beracha of Am Yisrael is to listen to the Torah. A person who has Torah, ish la'akol. He realizes that he has everything in life. A person who doesn't have Torah, miskin, not only because he doesn't have, because he doesn't realize. A person who doesn't realize is the biggest miskin. It's like, ki'iverim imashesh ba'afila. To, says the Gemara on Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, Roy, Tikra, Hai shichra dechala. Ta, tipita. Amar of Yosef, yeah, that's on the bottom. So apparently they used to have some sort of beer vinegar, I guess. You know, the most common form of vinegar, at least in those times, was wine vinegar. But they had beer vinegar too. Says the Gemara that beer vinegar from Goyim is asur because apparently they used to sprinkle it with wine sediment. Apparently that made it better. However, if you take it from the Otsar, they wouldn't do that because the wine sediment, only when you sell it right then, does it make it better. But if you put wine sediment into the barrel and you store it, apparently that makes it go sour, and even though...
Do you want it to be sour?
Yeah, I don't... It makes it go bad. It stinks. Okay, that's masriach. Yeah, that's what Rashi says. To. Now there's a Tosfot over there on the top. Yeah, what does Tosfot say? Mead. Apparently, when they used to make this honey mead, and they wanted to make it ferment, so everybody knows scientifically, in order to make something ferment, what do you need? Yeast, or something that has a lot of starch, because you want the starches to eat the sugars of whatever it is that's in there, and then what happens? What does it excrete? Alcohol. That's how alcohol is born. This is Chemistry 101.
Yeah, or even before 101. I learned this in high school, 10th grade. Anyway, the Kitzul, Aval, he's saying over here, sometimes they used to use the grape sediment, the wine sediment, in order to get this thing to ferment fast. And you have to check to see that it has no wine sediment in there. Now, there's a Tosfot tomorrow that's actually going to be subject of a big machloket with the Rambam, whether minastam you should be choshesh or not. Tosfot says, yeah. The Rambam and the Ran say no. Why or not? Bezat Hashem will revisit this tomorrow, and we'll see in the Bet Yosef as well. And that's that. But we have to take advantage because this week is the last week of the summer column. So we have to, mamash. Huh? I'm trying to, you know, to compensate. Yeah. I don't like giving mussar. I talk to myself. Man, who gives mussar? You talk to yourself.